beyond where you are today. I want to talk to you today about being seated in heavenly places. You know, my dad used to like to tell a story about a man who was drunk, and he was walking one foot on the curb and one foot on the road, and a preacher came over to him and said, "Sir, you're going to have to give up living this way. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to go to heaven?" he said. And the man said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, I can't believe you don't want to go to heaven when you die." He said, "Oh, yeah, when I die. I thought you was making up a load right now." Well, here's an amazing thing. How would you like to be in heaven without dying? That's good, isn't it? Let me read you this scripture. Ephesians 2, 3 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus." Now that either means something or it doesn't mean anything. And if it means something, it is extremely exciting. It's not just like a symbolic kind of thing. This is a reality. It's a place Jesus has bought for us by what he did on Calvary. How do I know that? The scripture says that when he raised Jesus from the dead, he also raised us up. Jesus did this for us, made this place for us, arranged it. The question, of course, is how can we be on earth and in heaven at the same time? We have a problem with spiritual things. That's not natural. Hallelujah. We've got so much natural that we need to get out of the way so we can move in something spiritual. No, this is a spiritual reality that you can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. Jesus did that, you know. You know, after his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. The scripture says, then he was seated at the right hand of the Father. But after this, right after this, we find Jesus walking in the garden on resurrection morning. After he had been to heaven, came back on resurrection morning. Later in the day, he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. He did not give up his place of authority in heaven in order to come to earth and visit. When he sat down on the throne beside the Father, he took his place of authority forever. When I was in the denominational church, we used to remind ourselves of this every Sunday morning. Rose from the dead, is seated on the right hand of the Father, from which he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. You know, we said a lot of good stuff. If there could have been understanding and revelation, this is what we've needed, and God is giving revelation today like we haven't had before. Amazingly, the Father has a plan and arranged for it. He arranged. When he raised Jesus up from the dead, he arranged for us to sit in his throne with him. He raised us up together with him and caused us to sit together with him in heavenly places. You know, the Greek does not say heavenly places there. Actually, it says heaven, in heaven, or the exalted place. That's what the Greek means. And I'm going to share, as I share with you today, to help our understanding, I'll be just using, you know, maybe three or four Greek words to tell you what they mean. I only do that when I feel that it will really enhance and give you depth of understanding. Here's the question. What is his purpose for us to be sitting there? I'm talking about now. He said he raised us up and made us to sit there when he raised Jesus up and made him to sit there. Now that's a spiritual reality. You don't get it in the natural. It's not natural. It's a spiritual reality. We are seated with Christ in heaven. What's his purpose for us to be there? His purpose is to deputize us with the power we need to accomplish what he's called us to do. God never asks you to do anything he doesn't equip you to do. Now that's, and he doesn't ask you to go anywhere or do anything or give any money or anything except what he makes a way for it to happen. In Luke 10, 17 through 19, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And they said, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, I shared with you, I think, last week that when he said this, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, it's really I give you authority. Exousia. I authorize you to walk in power over. It's not just that you've got a pretty good amount of power and you can get in there and go a few rounds with him. And some people think that's about what they've got. No, you've got authority over his power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice that he promised them authority over Satan's power. But the church largely has failed to obey Jesus' instruction to receive the power that he promised, because it comes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 2:49, now start listening because you haven't heard this before, what I'm going to tell you right now. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. This is Jesus. In Luke 24, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, which many people haven't done. Some people have never been taught to do. Others didn't really take it seriously. But it's what God provided in order to bring the empowerment about. Now, I want to tell you about this word, tarry. In the Greek, and any time I tell you what the Greek word is, don't bother, but I just do that to prove to you that I'm telling you the truth. It's the Greek word sunkathizo. And it means, now notice, what do you think tarry means? Wait. Wait in no particular way. Hang around, loiter, lay back. Catch up with your loafing. It could mean a lot of things. Tarry and don't tarry. Sometimes it's even negative. Quit tarrying. But this is a powerful tarrying. It's a power tarry. It means in the Greek to give or take a seat in company with. In King James, understanding, to make sit down together. And understanding the complete rendering of the word, it means to sit down as royalty takes a place. It means, tarry means, come before God, believing him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and pray and seek God and lay aside other things that would keep you from receiving, and with all your heart open up to him, believing, and believe and stay before him, and then sit down in the power that he's going to give you there. It doesn't mean hang around until it finally happens. The same Greek word, kathizo, is used in this verse as the one that's used in Ephesians that says seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heaven. Same Greek word. You know, we like to think we have to beg and try to do things and only nice people can get what we can never get. And the devil tells us all of those things. But the Lord says, go, reach for it with all your heart. Get everything out of the way. Take it from God and sit down in it. In the place of authority. I mean, he meant for something to happen when people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just that they speak in tongues, or Ed Miller says, not that they can now say banana backwards. You know the approach. Now, you can speak in tongues. Try it. La, la, ba, 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 ba. No. It's getting the power from God. And that you can sit down in that authority. The word tarry does not at all mean to sit around and wait as we interpret it in English. It means stay there until you come to the place that you can take this seat of authority that He wants to give you. It's not just to receive power. It's to be established in it and to take that place of authority. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Again, this is the same word, kathizo, that's used above for seated or take a seat. The understanding is to be seated as royalty or in authority. I mean, it may help you to understand, to relate this to a term. You know, the Pope, the Catholic Pope, when he makes a decree sitting in his chair, that becomes law. If he says something not sitting in his chair, it is not necessarily law. They feel that it may be true, they feel they should walk in it, but when he says it from the chair, it is law. It's almost, I guess they think it's as God speaks. So they use this term ex cathedra. So when he speaks from the chair, ex cathedra, it is law. God may as well have said it. The Lord wants you to know today that He wants you to take a seat and start saying some things in the place where He gives you authority and power that you never had, saying it from your poor self, trying to believe God, trying to be anointed, trying to get your faith increased, but sit down in what He's given you in Jesus, sitting together with Him in heavenly places. It is law and must be obeyed when the Pope says it. Sometimes he speaks, other times he speaks ex cathedra, from the chair. Now I want to talk to you about this word endued. In Acts 1:7-8, when you receive power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This time, the word for power is not the word exousia, authority, that Jesus used in Acts 10. I give you authority over all the power. It's not the same word. It is actually when he says in Acts 1:8, you'll get the Holy Spirit, you will receive not exousia, but dunamis. Dynamite! So we are not only going to have authority, but we're also going to have dynamite power. He covers all of it. This power that Jesus is promising to pour out on the day of Pentecost is Holy Ghost power. In Luke 24, Jesus said, if they would tarry, they would be endued with power from on high. I have to tell you this. You should meet my dragon. And no, there's a movie or something called How to Tame Your Dragon. I probably should have gone to it because my dragon is very untamed. He is a little system in my computer that lets me dictate, and he does my sermons. But he's not saved. And neither is Siri. But they do their best because they're being paid for it, you understand? So I told my dragon to say in my sermon, then when this happens to you, you will be endued with power from on high. And the dragon says, when this happens to you, you will be a dude with power from on high. But this time he got it right. You're going to be a powerful dude when this thing happens to you. The word endued means to submerge and completely cover with a substance that cannot be removed. It becomes a part of you. It is like dyeing a piece of fabric until the color becomes a part of it. And it cannot be separated or taken out. The power becomes one with you and you become one with it. You know, it's time that we quit creeping around and started rising up, knowing this power doesn't come and go. We have it. We've been endued with it. We put it on like a garment. It is us. It is a part of us. Holy Ghost power is a part of who I am. And so it's this Greek word, enduo, and it means this, in the sense of sinking into a garment or to invest with clothing, literally or figuratively, to put it on. But not only do you put it on, it also sinks in. King James part, array, clothe with, and do, have, or put on. Now take this sentence together with these two powerful words, tarry and endue. Jesus tells them to tarry in Jerusalem until they're endued with power from on high. Remember that tarry means to become firmly seated in the place of authority. Sit down because you are getting ready to be endued, that is, covered and permeated, covered with and permeated in, a power that can never be removed and will change who you are. This power will give you the power to truly be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. It will cause you to rise up in dominion, as the Word of God says, all through it is God's plan for us. Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The scripture says that we will reign with Christ Jesus on the earth. You know, one of these days, we're going to see Jesus rising up through his people in a way that we haven't seen before. And no longer will we stand around as bystanders to seeing what poor decisions people make and what a mess that they make of things. I saw a sign in front of a church the other day that said, Jesus is coming, hopefully before the election. Through receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit and being endued with power, he is equipping us to reign with him. The place that you have where you are seated with him in heavenly places means that he gives you the authority the Father has given him, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That means he has given you that authority. You know, you understand this, that God gave all authority to Jesus, and Jesus gave all authority to the church. And you have the authority in Jesus' name. You have that, and you have it, and he gave it to you, and if you don't use it, nobody's going to. He gave it to us. The place that you have where you're seated with him. There are two ways that we can pray with this supernatural faith, and one has very much to do with this being seated in heavenly places. There's a man that had in his office a large sign that said, keep looking down. We have an eagle's eye view. When I sit in the throne with him, I just keep looking down. I just see how small and miserable all this is here. And I turn and I take a look at him. And I say, oh, but how you're going to change it all. One way that we pray, you know, with supernatural faith is when you pray to God asking for things, which Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer we should ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. And he expects us to ask for things. I asked today that the Lord would be present with us. I should have gotten awake before I prayed because I was telling Joan, I prayed a strange thing this morning. I heard myself say, and I declare in Jesus' name that every ear will be stopped. And then I heard myself and I said, Lord, please reverse that prayer. Did you ever pray something so stupid you just couldn't believe it yourself? I was really, this really happened. I was really tired in a meeting. I was just thinking to myself something like, I just feel exhausted. And then we started singing this song, and I sang, Be thou exalted. Really? This song was Be Thou Exalted. Thank God he neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is not tired. He's never weary. So we pray and we ask for things. We ask for the Lord to meet our needs. We ask for the Lord to lead us not into temptation. These are things, this is a right place. And one of the ways that we pray is by supplication. That is, asking God. We never get so good that we can't ask and call on God and seek His face for the things that we need. But then, the other way is to pray is when you speak to things directly in His name and power. You actually speak in His name and power. You speak with Him or for Him or however you want to say that, as one seated with Him in His throne. One, you're asking for things. Secondly, you're speaking to things in His power. And this is exactly the way to pray for certain things, which gives us the power that we need. For example, healing. You come a long way in praying for healing when you quit praying, please heal, Lord, please heal. It's okay. Sometimes you might just feel like that. You need to get it out. Sometimes you can weep and cry when you become really desperate. But you come to a place of excellent power when you're praying for healing, when you say, be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus, in the scripture, says that the disciples healed people. They didn't ask for healing. The scripture says, and Jesus told them, heal all that are sick in that town. Heal them. So when you pray for people to be healed, I speak to that arm in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be straight. Be whole. I speak to that joint. Be loosed. Be free. Because He's given me power to do that in His name. Jesus never did stop and say a prayer for people for healing in God's name. And He gives us the authority, being seated with Him, that we speak healing. And we speak against the things that the enemy is working to do. We declare, we tell Him. I remember when Norval Hayes prayed for me, one of the things he said was, I command every spirit of infirmity to depart this body. There's a lot of spirit forces at work in sickness. We need to take authority over the lying work of the enemy. This is as we would pray and speak to our mountain. Mountain, move and be cast into the sea. When you rise up in faith and you have a rhema word, as I said last week, that's the word that you get by the Spirit of God. It's a living word. It's a proceeding word. It's a word for now. In other words, God has given it to you. The Spirit of God has made it live in you. That's how you can pray the prayer of faith. Then you can declare that rhema word. The logos word is the black words on the white pages. It's true, it'll always be true. But the rhema word is where you have the power to pray on that word. God has given that to you for power, for reality, for life, and for results. When you rise up in faith and you have a rhema word and you know the will of God, well, I'm afraid I don't know the will of God. Well, read the Bible. The Bible tells you what the will of God is. It is not any secret. The Bible, because of what Jesus did, teaches He wants us well. And we do at times have to stand our ground and resist the will of the enemy. The enemy comes and sends his demons as squatters. And even though we have the truth of God and we're confessing the truth of God, they want to sit there and say, see if you can move me. See if you can move me. So I might have told you this, that recently the Lord showed me to say, You get out of this, devil. Jesus is in charge of my healing. Don't you try to mess with it. Don't you try to tamper with it. I'm going to be healed by the Jesus power, and you have nothing to do with it. So when you rise up in faith and have a rhema word and know the will of God, you're speaking from the seat that you have with Him in heavenly places. Everybody see that? You're speaking from the seat you have with Him in heavenly places, not in an earthly kind of ordinary way where you're endeavoring to exercise faith, but from that seat of authority. And where you know what the will of God is, and you have the Word of God, and you have the Rhema Word of God, you can speak and declare. God put you in that place when He raised Jesus from the dead. It's not something that you have to work at to try to get into. Now, Heidi Baker, I think that most of you are aware that Heidi Baker has talked about making some trips to heaven. And so she's told about the things that she sees there. And she told me that, over to the left, come up a little, step up on the step. That's okay. If you won't ask me to stretch, I won't ask you to stretch. It's a deal. This is one of the best men I know around here. A great guy. So as Heidi Baker has been before the throne of God, and she shared with me some of the things that she has seen there. I've read of other people as well who have visited heaven. And I've heard them tell their stories. Yang and Cho is one, and there are others. And it's been enlightening for us, the things that they saw there. But one of the things that Jesse Duplantis tells about going to heaven. And he said after he had seen some things, then he said, oh, where's the Holy Spirit? And that the angel said, he's on earth. And he said, oh, yeah, I knew that. Now, the scripture says that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that he'll always be with us. Jesus said it'd be better for us to have Him on earth than to have Jesus Himself. He said it's more expedient for you to have Him. Now, this is an amazing thing, but I want to point out something to you. I thought the Lord showed me this, how you can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. I want to get you to believe this. Because if you don't believe it, you won't see yourself seated in heavenly places. You just think that's some sort of, well, that's a nice sort of religious idea. It's not religious. It's spiritual. It's true. Jesus died for it and was raised again for the dead to put you there and to seat you there. You have a lot higher place than you ever dreamed for authority over the dark things that want to happen in this earth. We need to know that. But I was reminded of Revelation 4:5, that when John was taken into heaven, he said, and so I appeared before the very throne of God. He described the throne, the rainbow that was around it, all of the things that he saw. And then he said, and in front of the throne were the seven spirits of God. And the scripture also says that Jesus has the seven spirits. And I saw from that even though the Holy Spirit came to earth and He stayed on earth, the seven spirits of God are also in heaven. So don't let it bother you, being a problem about being in heaven and on earth at the same time. It's not a problem for God. I want you to see yourself seated there in heavenly places. That's why Paul told us that. He wants us to know it. He wants our faith to lay hold on it. So Heidi Baker told me that I asked her about it once when she was here. Heidi is our missionary that we work with in Mozambique. And she said, well, really, Sue, I've only been 9 times. And I've gotten to be friends with her, and I said, is that all? And she said the first time that the Lord took her up, she said, it was really scary. I thought maybe I was going to die. She said it was like a huge mammoth vacuum cleaner. She was in the middle of a worship service, so be sure to come to worship service. It might be your trip to heaven. She was standing in a worship service, and suddenly she felt, whew, and she, the next thing she knew, she was before the very throne of God. We've known of several people. The children in the revival, where the Chinese children under Roland Baker's grandfather, they took trips to heaven during that revival and told all kinds of stories about being in heaven. Well, when I was in the 90s, when I was at Blue Mountain one day during the river movement that was in Brownsville and Toronto and so many places, and thank God here, we'd never be the same after being touched by the Lord the way we were during. I mean, we found out that what we thought people were just carrying on when they fell out or did different things, and then we had to say, now I are one. And while people here were lying on the floor after they would fall in the power of God, Jesus would come to them. Many people gave their testimonies. He would walk over to them and begin to talk to them and deliver them of things that they've had that had kept them in depression for years and years. It's so important to know that it's a supernatural. It's a work by the Spirit. It's that, that's the contact. The Lord wants us to have this wonderful contact. But at Blue Mountain, these children, this was one morning we were immersed in this move here. And the Lord started moving one evening, and it went on at 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning, I went home. I remember I was sore all over. Just from praying for so many people. Hundreds, you know. And God did such marvelous things. Called people back who'd been away from God, and people who'd gone away from the ministry, moved their hearts back to Him again. All of this. And then the next morning, they brought in the children and asked if I would pray for them. And some of the children were out long periods of time. And then later on, and I have some of this on video, they gave their testimonies. Well, I was taken to heaven. And they told us some of the things that they saw there, how it changed their lives. Then I told you about the woman that I prayed for that night, and she went out in the Spirit. And but, I mean, she stayed out. And so all night. And so her friends just moved sleeping bags in the sanctuary and spent the night with her. But the next morning, suddenly, in that line I was praying for, she appeared. And I just quickly put my hands behind me. And I said, I'm not going to pray for you until you tell me where you went last night. She said, I was with Jesus all night. This girl, her mother was a witch, and her father abused her. And she was getting ready to take her own life, and some people got her to come. And she said, and now I'm going to serve Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm believing God for a move of the Spirit that will kick the stuffing out of the unbelief that says God doesn't want to be in touch with us. God doesn't want to move among us. It's just intellectual. Now, if it's intellectual, I feel sorry for us. Nobody ever thinks they have enough intellect. You know, Stephen Hawking, one of the most brilliant people on earth, said the other day that he takes this pill that sharpens his mind. I think, how much brain do you need? You're one of the smartest people on earth. And I never find myself going around saying, I don't have enough brain power. Well, what if we just used what we have? Besides that, there's a scripture that says, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance in that hour. We have the Holy Ghost. Really, I had someone, you know, I was writing books and things, and someone said, people ask the craziest questions. I'm talking, not any of you, you know, it's when I travel. And and somebody said to me, what do you think is your best intellectual gift? I thought, what in the world? I'm not doing this through the intellect. Leave me alone. I thought all of that. And I said, my best intellectual gift is the Holy Ghost. He reminds me of all things. He puts any creative thoughts I have, just like thoughts that he gave John when John was working at Eastman. He gave John all these creative thoughts and people didn't know where they were coming from. The Holy Ghost. We've got to get in touch with heaven. We got to stay. The scripture says, set your affection on things above. We need to set our affection in heaven. We need to find out about heaven and what's there and what's going on there and what part of it we have in the heavenly reality. Are you glad to know today that God has given this power to you? I want us to stand up together and let's believe the Lord today that He will make us believers in the things that He so wants to give us, that we can move from the place of being ordinary to being people full of authority that know how to speak things because that authority is ours. I'm believing that the Lord wants us to move in this power, but what He's done for so many years is He's kept us from knowing about it. The enemy has kept us from knowing about it. But He can't keep us anymore because God has taken the lid off. And these are days of revelation. You know why? We need this power. Because, now listen, it's nice, it's wonderful to be in the presence of God. It's beautiful when spiritual things happen. But the whole point is the Lord wants us to be used to deliver the world of its darkness. And that those that are lost can be saved and enter into what He's already given us, this wonderful abundant life. I want us to look to the Lord for just a moment. Would you bow your hearts in His presence? And I want us to make a commitment this morning. Now, one scripture says we have not because we ask not. It's just fine to say, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, let me flow in the gifts of the Spirit. That's making supplications, asking God, calling on God. Lord, we just come today and we say, Lord, give us faith to believe into this realm. We know that faith is the way that we're going to really sit on that seat that Jesus has provided. Lord, we just say to you today, this is really good news for me. I'm really glad to hear this because in myself, I cannot do anything. And Lord, I need this power. I need you, Lord, to cause me to ascend higher in my believing and to walk with the confidence that what you say and what Paul told us in your word is true. It's absolutely true. Lord, we thank you today that your mighty power brings healing, salvation, and deliverance. And because of your mighty healing, many people in this church have been set free, delivered, or their lives have been saved. Thank you, Lord, for mighty healings like Mike Bracken's, and like Jimmy Lambert's. Thank you for those that you're healing right now. Thank you for those that we are praying for and have prayed for even this morning. Let your mighty healing power work and flow. Let that river of healing flow from the throne of God, healing everything it touches. If you need healing this morning, if you have a chronic difficulty, if it's convenient, just put your hand where that hurts or where the problem is.